tonight. We're going to spend most of our time in there. Where you're going, I'm going to read a verse of scripture from Job chapter 14, verse 10. He said, "But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he?" For a title for this evening's lesson, I've titled it, "Things God Wants Us to Know." You know, there's a lot of things in the Bible that he wants us to know. I mean, he just flat wants us to know. And it says, you can know or you know. And the children of God, there's several things that we can know and that we do know that helps us in our walk. He doesn't keep his word a secret. And so that's just a few things. I'm not going to include everything he wants us to know, because I'd probably be here by myself after about 2 o'clock in the morning. So just a few things from his word, mostly in 1 John chapter 2 and 3 there. I think over the years, you know, man has a lot of questions along this line of what does God want me to do? What can I do for God? It's not what can I do for God. Now, it's more what can God do for me in the realm of preparing me to serve him. And as Brother Isaac mentioned so many times in his prayers, he says, "For I am nothing without you," and talking to the Lord. And that's a fact. Now, we can't do anything without him. We are nothing without him. But as a child of God, there are things that he wants us to know, and he makes it pretty clear for us. And also, we're going to look at just a few of these things. And I'm going to start out in 1 John chapter 2, and I'm going to read the first three verses there of 1 John chapter 2. And if you're able to, would you stand with me for the reading of the word? He says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." And now notice in verse 3, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." Again, Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have, and I ask your blessings on your word, Father, for I know that I can speak nothing of your truths without you being the one, Father. So we pray that you'll be with us tonight and help us to know all things, and that we study here tonight and we can use them in our daily walk to draw us closer to you and be a better witness for you as we go through this life. Thank you, Father, and we'll give you the praise, honor, and glory you so richly deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, so he wants us, the first thing that I want us to understand is God wants us to know we are saved. Now, you think about that. You say, "Well, I know I'm saved." Yeah. If you're truly a child of God tonight, you know that. But did you know there's a lot of people in the world that don't know that? You know, because they get off in different religions, or some religions that don't think that it says you don't know you're really saved till you get there. I guess you'll bounce through heaven's doors one day and say, "Whew, I made it." That is not what God wants us to know. And he wants us to know that we are saved. And he says, then verse 3 again, "And hereby we do know that we know him." Now, if we know him, then are we not his children? He says, we do know that we know him. And if we keep his commandments. So that's one way that we can understand that we know Jesus as our Savior, is the fact that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. I've had people say, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. I know I'm saved, but what does he want me to do? If we start out with the basics. You know, everything has the basics with it. As a child of God, we may not know everything that God wants us to do right off the bat, but there are some things that he wants every child to know. One of them is he wants us to pray. Amen. We all know that he wants us to pray. He wants us to fellowship together with our brothers and sisters in one of his churches. Amen. It says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. So we know that. And for a young Christian that is looking, what can I do, or what would the Lord want me to do? Start with the basics. Start praying. Make sure that you're in the Lord's house whenever the opportunity arises. Make sure that we are witnessing. You know, just tell somebody, young child of God, and we're all babes in Christ, by the way. You know, we're none of us has advanced to the point that we can say I'm fully grown in Christ. None of us is complete. We try to be, and we work, and that's something to work toward as a child of God. But we're not there yet. I know from personal experiences, I have a ways to go yet, but I want to serve the Lord, but in this so sinful body, sometimes it's pretty tough, you know. Now, but we can tell a family member or a friend that especially when a new convert, somebody just been saved, they say, I got saved. We ought to be excited about that. You know, and are you as excited today about your salvation as you were the day you were saved? Amen. You know, if we are, then we should tell somebody. You know, of course, Brother Isaac, again, and I keep saying Brother Isaac, his heart's in this church. There's no doubt about it. He wants this church to progress and to grow. He wants us, all the members, to grow in Christ. I mean, he studies hard to present his word and all. And I tell you, I feel very blessed to be part of this church and him as our pastor, because it's a wonderful place to come and fellowship and worship the Lord. And we're looking at the basic love one another. That's another thing that, and here we're going to get into a little more, is the love for one another. And I told you before, I think, when I stood before you, about love. Love is not a feeling. The kind of love that God wants for us, love is an action word. You know, it's not a feeling, because sometimes I feel bad, but I still love my brother and sister. Sometimes at home I feel bad, and I may look like I'm about ready to bite Nan's head off, but I still love her, and I don't do it. I just keep my mouth shut because I feel bad. So feelings does not tell us how much we love one another. Now, by loving one another, we should feel good about that. But it is an action word. And again, we'll talk a little bit more about that as we get down here. Again, he says, and hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. In verse 4, he goes on and says, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So if we're, again, as we're looking at our salvation and all, we have to, part of our salvation is the love that Jesus instilled in us. It's that great love that sheds abroad in our hearts. If we're truly saved, it ought to be something that pours out of us by the way we talk, by the way we present ourselves to our family and friends at work. They ought to be able to see something that's different than what's in this world. That's the action part of love, part of the action of love. And all to show people we care. Whether they're a saved person or lost, we've got to show them that we care. If we don't care about the lost is not going to care about themselves or about getting saved or anything else. Remember, we're left here to witness to the lost. Now, we get the lost in here once in a while, but not very often. Most of the lost people out there, and of course, Brother Isaac again has the outreach on Sunday afternoon, to go to the lost, because the lost is not going to come here as a rule, you know. And so, and that's what Jesus in his Great Commission, he said, go into all the world. He said, go out to those lost people. Some of them's going to listen to you, and some of them's not. Some of them will slam their door in your face, and some of them will tell you they just don't want to hear. But if one person, if you witnessed to 1,000 people, and one person was saved, is it worth it?
Amen.
And I've said this over the years, that if every saved person brought one person to Christ, and that person was saved, just every saved person, we wouldn't have any lost people.
Amen.
And when we look at the world that we live in and the lost out there, it tells you pretty much how much we're failing. And I'd say we Christians as a whole, how much we're failing on our responsibilities and all that God has entrusted us to. The lost don't normally sit around reading their Bibles. There may be some that reads it, but most of them don't sit around reading their Bible like we should. And that's another thing when people ask me, tell me they don't know what God wants me to do. He wants us to study his word, doesn't he?
Amen.
And study to show thyself approved. So that's another one of those very basic things that any child of God can do.
Amen.
You see, and so... as we get, and the more that we do for him, we're going to find out the more we do for him, the more he's going to allow us to do, and the more abilities he's going to give us, and we'll continue to grow. I'll ask you this question. Do you know more about God today than you did the day you were saved?
Amen.
I hope so, you know, because looking out over the congregation, there's some folks been saved here a long time. And we shouldn't be bottle fed by now. We should be able to endure some strong meat along the way. We might have to get that bottle once in a while, but we shouldn't need it all the time. And so that's, again, as we continue to study God's word and pray, or pray, study God's word, and pray some more. And just mention, you know, we don't have to, unless they want to get in a heated conversation. When we're first starting out, we don't have to get in a conversation about the Bible. Just a word about God. I don't know if I told you this story, but if I did, I'm going to tell it to you again. And if I didn't, then you'll hear it for the first time. But when I was working out in the field, I'd listen to some Baptist preachers on a regular basis as I was going from one job to another, because I spent a lot of time in the vehicle and all. And this Baptist preacher, he was a Southern Baptist preacher, but this story really touched my heart. And I heard this, it was back in the 80s, and I still remember it. Can you imagine a guy that don't have much of a memory remembered something like that? And all. But anyway, this Baptist preacher out of Memphis, Tennessee, talked about a woman who they hired some roofers to come and re-roof their house there in Memphis. And she made up her mind when those roofers got there, she was going to witness to them about Jesus Christ. And so they came, and it was in probably July, just hotter than the Dickens out there. And so that when it was got real hot, she made them up a big old pitcher of ice cold lemonade and took out to them. and she was going to witness to them about Christ. Well, she got out there and started talking and got to stammering around, and she couldn't say what she wanted to say and how she wanted to say it, and she just got so bumfuzzled about her words that she just went back in the house and never showed her face again to those folks for the rest of the time they was there roofing the house. And then it was about 5 years later, she was in church, and this lady walked up to her and asked her, said, "Aren't you so-and-so?" She said, "Yeah, that's me." She said, "You remember about 5 years ago, some men come and roofed your house?" "Yes, I remember that." "Well, one of them was my husband." And she told him, said, "You witnessed to them that day, on that first day there, and said, from your witnessing, he found Christ as his Savior."
Amen.
"And said, if it hadn't have been for you, he may not have accepted Christ. And he died about a year ago of cancer." And all. So, God, sometimes I don't speak as eloquently as I would like to. Most of the time I don't. And all. But it's not us. It's not about us. God will use us if we let him.
Amen.
And y'all may not believe this, but when I was young, I was very quiet. I would not talk. Can you believe that? You know, a high school friend of mine, we went all 12 years of school when the last church I pastored there in Arkansas. He came not too long after I started pastoring there. And his name's James Jackson. And James sat through my sermon, and afterwards he said, "Joe, that's a good message." He said, "I want to tell you something." He said, "I heard you speak more words in that one sermon than I heard you speak in 12 years of school." I said, "You hold that thought. I want you to tell it to Nan." Nan still didn't believe it, though. But again, it's not... it's God that's speaking through us. He may, when somebody sees our sincerity in what we're doing, that lady may not have spoke very well, but they seen something in her that set their heart to thinking. And that's, again, the action of love. His commandments is for us to go and tell people about him. And whether it's family, friends, any in the supermarket, a lot of the people are going to say, "I don't want to hear it." But we're not looking for the ones that don't want to hear it. We're looking for the ones that do. And the ones that don't, we're going to keep telling them. You know, we're not going to shake the dust off our feet and all of that. Every opportunity we get, we're still going to tell them about the Lord. And also, but he says, and again in verse 5, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected," or completed, if you would. "Hereby know we that we are in him." So now, by keeping his word, and of course, to keep his word, we got to know what his word says. So one of the basics of a child of God is to read the word of God. It's not hard. We just got to make sure we set some time aside. As we progress in our relationship with God as his children, we should keep reading. There's never a time when we should give up reading the word of God.
Amen.
Because again, the word of God is him talking directly to us. And we got to understand that this is the word of God. Men took the pen in their hands, but God told them what to write. It's the inspired word of God, and in it we find that this love is growing as we read it, understand his commandments, and keep them. Then our love of God is perfected, and then we realize God's in me and I'm in him. And what a wonderful place to be. And also, Look over in chapter 3 and verse 14. And again, we're looking at, he wants us to know we are saved. In chapter 3, verse 14 of 1 John, he says, we know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brethren abideth in death. So, now, loving one another, I know sometimes people can be overbearing or may say things we don't like, but there's never a time when we should say, I don't love that person. There never should be a time when we're not willing to talk to that person. There never should, because love, again, is an action word. It's not a feeling. If I love somebody, I need to tell them that I love them and tell them that the reason for my love for them. And it doesn't matter what they are. You know, Jesus went into all the world. Now, does that mean he only went to his own? Well, if he did, he had a small congregation, didn't he? He went to the lost world. He said, I came to seek and save that which was lost. He didn't come try to save people. And of course, the Pharisees, when they seen him going into the house of publicans and sinners, they accused him. But that's where a lot of lost people's at, huh? And so he went to them. And you know what? Some of them were saved. And also, but as we do this and we find that our love, again, this is something that will grow. It's an action word that we start with, but the more we exercise it, the more it grows. Amen. And so the more that we reach out to people, and again, maybe it's just a kind word. Y'all know Nan likes to send out cards. And she loves sending out cards. And every once in a while, she'll get a card back, a thank you card, telling her that the card that she sent them, she said, you don't know how much we needed that this day. Amen. You see. And that makes it all worthwhile. If she just, if she never got one, she'd still send them out. But that reinforces that she's doing something right, you know, and so that's just a little thing that she enjoys doing. She don't expect anything in return. She just loves sending them out, and that's, to me, that's what love is. When we can do something for people, whether it's telling them about Christ, whether it's about just doing something. We see a need there and we help them with that need, whether it's picking up sticks out of the yard after a storm, or whether it's making sure that if we can make sure they got a food on the table or something like that. Those are things that reach out and opens the doors for other things. And it's and that's what love does. We look for the opportunity always to witness. Sometimes the opportunity comes as we reach out to individuals. Now, a couple other places I want to look, and then we're going to move on. In chapter 4, verse 13 of 1 John. Again, notice what this is saying. We know. That's the key here. We know. And these are things that we should know. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Do you know that the Spirit of God is working in you? If you don't, you should. Because as a child of God, you've got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said that he will come to us and he'll be in us and he'll teach us all things and show us all things. And also he should be there. And if he doesn't feel like he's there, it's not him. You know, the Bible tells us not to quench the Holy Spirit. So if the Spirit is just sitting there with nothing to do, it's because we're not using him. So he should be there. And it's, again, it says, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And then in chapter 5 and verse 13, he says these things. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." We're all sinners, and I know we've all done things that we know God's not pleased with. It doesn't matter how big we think the sin is or how small, God looks at sin as sin. And it's not something he wants to see us doing. And sometimes we may question ourselves, but he tells us here that if we believe on his name, on the Son of God, that we know we have eternal life. I've did a lot of things I'm sorry for in my life as a child of God, and but I do know, as back up in chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, "My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father." And that's what kept me a-going over the years, is the fact that I know Jesus has not forsaken me. And I try not to sin and then say, "Lord, forgive me," and then go sin some more. But when I know that I've sinned, then I take it to the Lord. And he's helped. I know he's helped me and he's helped you. You're saved. He's helped you. I know that. And he's helped you in so many ways in your life. That if you know that song, "Count Your Blessings," we couldn't count all of our blessings. We probably have forgotten most of them, especially if they happened years ago. And so, but it's a good, if we count our blessings and what God has done for us and what he's doing for us, it takes and helps us realize that we need to keep going forward, and it actually keeps us kind of out of the sin path there and on the path that Jesus has set for us. Now, I'm probably only going to have time for about one other one here. Like I said, I don't want to keep you till midnight or anything, but the second thing I want us to look at is what he wants us to know. He wants us to know the truth. That's something he specifically said. And I'm going to go back to 1 John chapter 2 because we're going to spend some time there. And while you're turning back there, I'm going to read a verse from John 8:47. He says, "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." So he's talking to the Pharisees and those, but he's, notice what he said. "He that is of God heareth God's words." Now we know that God's word is truth. And now in 1 John chapter 2, verse 21, look with me there. 1 John 2:21, he says, "I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth." Now, about everything, when you got an opposite like truth and lies, and one is the power, has the power, and the other one is just the absence of that power. In and of itself, it has no power. And all, and truth is the power word here. And when we're walking in truth, we're walking in the power of God. And all, and when we're walking, and when we're not walking in the truth, then we're living a lie. You know, and a lie is just that. The lie cannot overcome the truth, per se. Now, we may turn off the truth, if you would, and the lie is left for us. But whenever the truth is going, there's no room for the lie. It's kind of like light and darkness. You know, light is the power, and darkness is merely the absence of light. That's all it is. But the power is in the light. And I believe that's the reason Jesus used it so much when he said, I am the light and you are the light. Because the light can be seen. What can you see in darkness? If it's really pitch black dark. And the truth is also the power of God, because his word is truth. Everything from Genesis through Revelation is truth. Again, people who want to live a lie may try to change it around and say, well, this contradicts this or this contradicts that. Nothing in God's word contradicts anything else in God's word. Because sometimes we may not understand it, and we need to keep studying and praying. And all. And you know what? Sometimes we may live a whole life and not understand some of it. I doubt there's anybody here that will understand the Word of God in its entirety in your lifetime. But you know what? We're going to have all eternity to live the Word of God. And that's without the sin presence. You know, right now we live in the presence of sin, but we don't have to live in the power of sin, because we have that advocate. We have the one who has forgiven us of all of our sins, past, present, and future. Now, that doesn't give us a license to sin, as some people like to think of us old Baptists, because that same preacher I was telling you the story about, he said he witnessed somebody, and they were of another faith that didn't believe in security of the believer, and he said, oh, yeah, you old Baptists, y'all believe once saved, always saved. So once you get saved, you can just go sin all you want. And this preacher looked at him and said, let me tell you something. He said, I'm saved, and I know I'm saved, and I sin more than I want. You think about it. If you sin one time, it should be more than you want. And also, we don't go sinning all that we want to. We go sinning more than we want to, you see. It's not about the eternal security. It's about the weakness of the flesh. Again, the power of God overcomes the weakness of the flesh. But he has forgiven us of our sins, and he wants us to know his truths. His truth is you have eternal life. Now, how long is eternity? 10 years? Till I sin again? Do I have to wait, be careful and die between sins to make sure I get to heaven? You know, that just sounds like foolishness there. God does not deal in foolishness. He deals in truth. And he wants you and me to know the truth that he deals in. Now, in 1 John chapter 3 again, verse 18, 1 John 3:18, he says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. So again, notice what he says about that. Let us not love in word, neither in tongue. Remember again, I said love is not a feeling and it's not just words. It's action. He said again, but in deed and in truth. Our deeds should manifest our love for God. Our deeds should manifest our love for fellow man. Our deeds should manifest that we believe the Bible for what it says and all. And that we take nothing for granted in the Word of God. And we don't try to twist it around to make it say something it don't. Now look in 1 John 4 and verse 6. He says, 1 John 4 and 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Again, he said, he that knoweth God heareth us, but he that is not of God heareth not us. Again, as he wants us to know his truth, he wants us to know that if somebody is of God, or we, when somebody knows we're speaking the truth to them, they will listen. Now, If they don't believe it, if they don't believe what the truth is coming out of her mouth, then they're not going to listen, at least at that time. It doesn't mean they won't ever listen, and it might mean they won't listen to me, but it might mean they might listen to Brother Terry or Brother Bill Don or one of you others, one of you ladies. You know, the same person may cross your path and listen to you on the same scripture. You know, but again, it doesn't mean we don't try. It just means that not everybody's going to listen to me. I know they should, but they don't. I have a class full of high school and adult students, and they all don't listen to me either all the time for some reason. And also, now, I'm going to look at one other thing here. Here's some of the things that I had written down, is to know that he is righteous, that he answers prayers, to know that we're in the last days. Those are some of the things. I'm not going to try to get to all of them because we just, again, don't have time, and I don't want to wear you out tonight. And I want you back here Sunday. And also, so let's look at to know that he is righteous. Now, that word righteous means innocent, holy, and just. That's our God. And that's our Savior. In 1 John, back in chapter 2, verse 29, he says in 1 John 2:29, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. You know, God says in Old Testament and New Testament both, he says, be ye holy, for I am holy. If we are righteous, then our righteousness is in him and he is in us. We have no righteousness of ourselves. Anything that good comes out of me or you is straight from God, because we've been studying Genesis on Monday night here with the men's Bible study, and in Genesis, you know, God destroyed the earth by flood in the days of Noah. After the flood was over, he said, I know the heart of man is evil continually. And he made a promise then that he would never destroy the earth by flood again. He knows who we are. He knows what we're up against in this old world. And so he gives us his word so that we understand that he knows who we are. It doesn't excuse sin in the least. It just lets us know who we are. The Ten Commandments and all the other commandments that God gave Israel, they were there to show them they're sinners. The law proves to us that we're sinners and we can't keep the law, and it was never designed to save us. It only can be saved by the grace of God, whether they lived in the Old Testament days or in the New Testament days or in today. We cannot be saved by keeping the law. You know why? Because we've already broke the law. So we're lawbreakers. And we can't go back and undo what we've already done. Yeah, you see, so we will be forever lawbreakers. But we can also be forever saved by God's grace. And because of his righteousness, I am righteous. You know, as spiritually, as a child of God, we don't sin. A true child of God does not sin spiritually. Now, fleshly, yes. But here in 1 John, it tells us about that we sin not in the spirit. You know, I know that's hard for us to understand because we sin. But our spirit is indwelled with the Holy Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit sin? Is it our guide? Does it direct our spiritual paths? Is it leading us in the path of sin or in the path of righteousness? You see what I'm saying? That's spiritually. Now, fleshly, we just go off the deep end sometimes. You know, we're all capable of doing it. Don't make it right, just makes it a fact. And when we do sin, we have to repent. We have to ask the Lord to forgive us. Either that or it's going to eat us up, just like a cancer eats on us. You know, sin will destroy you. You remember Peter told Jesus, when Jesus told him he was going to die, he tried to convince Jesus that he wasn't. He said, you don't have to do it. And finally, and I'm paraphrasing, but finally Jesus looked at him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. And he was looking straight at Peter when he said it. Was Peter lost? No. Peter thought he was doing what was right. But it was Satan that was dwelling. Remember, Jesus told Peter, said, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. You know, Satan will try to destroy us even as a saved person. If he can stop you from being a witness, if he can get you to doing things that you know you shouldn't be doing, or saying things that you know you shouldn't be saying, whether it's bad mouthing a neighbor that you're supposed to be loving, and all, he'll do it. Because if he can destroy your testimony, he's destroyed you. You see? And that's what Satan will do to us. But our righteousness is in Christ. And only in him can we do the things that's right. And again, his word is truth. His word is speaking to us every time we read it. Now, when we were growing up and we took and was in school, we took classes, math class, science class, English class. Did we get every word that the teacher told us the first time? And we didn't. That teacher had to go over it and over it and over it. And you know what? Some of that stuff I didn't get even then. Some of it I did. Some of it actually stuck. Now, it's the same way with God's word. I read it sometimes, well, I think, what is he saying? And sometimes I may have to just leave it alone and go back another time, read it again, and I'm still saying, what is he saying? But that doesn't stop me from keeping reading it, and sometimes I may not ever understand it, but I'm still going to read it and just see what he's saying. Who knows, somewhere else in the Bible, I may read something that clears that one up. Because that's what the Bible does. How many times did Jesus quote from the Old Testament? You see. So he's speaking to us. He knows our heart and he knows our mind. And he's going to keep speaking to us until our righteousness is perfected in him. What that word perfects means, complete in him. He's going to keep working with us as his children. And he may chastise us once in a while when we kind of get off a little bit, but that's only because he loves us, isn't it? And so when we think about what God really want me to do, well, tonight he wants us to know, should I say? He wants us to know we're saved. That's the first thing. He wants us to know his truth, and he's given us his truth. And then he wants us to know that he is righteous and our righteousness is his righteousness. That's three of the things. And he wants us to know that he answers prayers. As a matter of fact, in 1 John 5:14, let's just turn there and I'll use this as my last passage of scripture. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So he answers our prayers. If we ask, notice the key to his prayers is this. If we ask anything according to his will, we are children of God. Are we striving to do his will or our will? When we talk to the Lord and ask a petition of him, too many times we ask already know what the answer is and everything. I mean, we got it all laid out. We're just looking for a stamp of approval. It don't work like that with God. He said, if you ask in my according to my will, he said, then I'll hear. If you ask in my name, I will hear and I will do it. So we got to ask, I guess when we pray then and talk to the Lord, we say, Lord, what is your will in my life? Or not, and not what, here's my will, Lord, what do you think about it? He's going to say, I don't think much about it, and all, because his will is always better, and all. And it may not seem like it at the time, but it's always better. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Romans 8:28, and we know that all things happen to the good of those that love the Lord, to the called according to his purpose. Are we doing his purpose, or are we doing our own? Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for your word, for your precious truths. Father, we pray that we apply your truths from your holy word as we read it each and every day, that we'd apply those truths to our daily walk with you. Help us, Father, to be what you would have us to be and not what our desires are. Father, we know that every way that you lead us and take us is good and it's true. Help us to understand that and help us to follow you in all things. Father, again, we love you so much. Ask you to forgive us of our sins. And Father, we lift you up in all things and ask our petitions in Jesus' name. Amen. We don't have a musician, so if somebody wants to hum, nah. But I will say this, as far as an invitation, I want you to know there's an invitation. And if you want to, if you're not saved and you want to be saved, I can show you. I can't save you, but I can show you. I can show you in God's Word what it takes to be saved. That's His truths. I would much rather show you his truths than to tell you my truths. And if there's anybody here, if you lost, or if there's anything that you want to talk about or bring before the Lord, I'll be here. And I know Brother Isaac, Brother Terry's here, and some of the other folks here, Brother Roger. I know these guys have studied this Bible. Brother Roger studied many more years than I have. And so it's just that I say that, Brother Roger, because I hadn't always studied God's Word. There was a time when I was away from God, most miserable time in my life. You know, the most miserable person in the world is not a lost person. It's a saved person out of fellowship with God. I know I've been there. My life has never been so miserable until I got back where he wanted me. You know. So with that said, is there any